Today's shir is Masechta Pesachim Daf Ayin Vav. We will begin with Daf Ayin Hey Amud Beis at the Mishnah, at the bottom of the Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses, as we've learned, that the Torah says that the Korban Pesach has to be Tzli Eish. It has to be roasted on fire. And therefore teaches us the Mishnah, Noga, if the Korban Pesach touched Charsa Shaltana, the floor, the actual oven, which, of course, the oven in which the Korban Pesach is roasted, obviously is very hot, and therefore the Korban Pesach got therefore roasted not from the fire, but rather it got roasted from the heat of the floor of the oven. Then the halacha is that yikloif, the spot that yikloif has mekaymai, the spot on the Korban Pesach that touched that heat, that got roasted because of the heat and not because of the fire, then the halacha is that you have to scrape off the kdei klipa, which is going to be an important part of today's shir. That certain times where there's an absorption of something which is not acceptable, that the halacha is that when you have that type absorption, you need to do khalifa, which means scraping off that part. Yiklef is v'kaimai, we have to scrape off that part and destroy it. Like any kachim that apostle, we've learned many times, that kachim that apostle have to be burnt. Because that spot did not have tzliesh. So now the question is, if the mount of the Korban Pesach that absorbed, that got roasted from the oven, not from the fire, has to be taken off. So why is the halacha that the kdei klipa is adequate? That part, that depth of kdei klipa is also. So it touches the next part of the carbon, and therefore you should have to do klipa twice. So some want to suggest that indeed you have to do klipa twice. And in fact, that's what Rabbi Akiva Eger suggests. Rabbi Akiva Eger says that when the Mishnah says, in this case, we have to do klipa, it doesn't mean only the outer layer. It has to be the amount that got affected from the outer, that was by layer from the outer layer as well. Says the Mishnah further, not have miroitfai. If some of the gravy of the Korban Pesach dripped al acheres onto the floor of this oven, the chazar, and then that roitif that got heated up, that got cooked from the heat of the oven, got reabsorbed elof into the Korban Pesach, yitlas mekaymai. You have to take off that spot from the Korban Pesach. And of course, the important part to point out here is that, as we just mentioned a moment ago, whenever the halacha discusses about absorption and the removal of that absorption, there are different shiurim, there are different amounts that are reflected on. So here we're speaking about the kedei netila. Kedei netila is much deeper than kedei klipa. So as Tosfos on Afayinal Vavamanal of the Ramaskal explains, if the Korban Pesach would have been completely roasted already, then we wouldn't have this consideration. What happened here was that it was not completely roasted, and you had this gravy that got heated from the floor of the oven that heated the carbon. So that carbon got cooked because of that gravy, and therefore that gravy, which is not roasted gravy, could create a problem on this Korban Pesach. And as I just said, you have to take off a deeper amount. You have to take off kedei netila. Now, again, Tosfos here, the very Maske Yitoil, asks a similar question to the question that we just discussed a little earlier. Why is kedei netila enough? If the kedei netila is the amount of absorption, so then that amount, of course, got usur, and then it should have the ability to create a problem deeper into the Korban Pesach. So Tosfos explains that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where there isn't that much gravy, and therefore, since there isn't that much gravy, the halacha is that it doesn't penetrate any into the carbon past Kedei Netila. And in fact, the Rishonim point out there are different liquids that have different levels of penetration. And in fact, some liquids, because they have the ability to penetrate deeper into the carbon, then you would have to take off more than other liquids which don't penetrate that deeply. Not af miroitvoi ala soilus. If some of the gravy of the Korban Pesach dripped on flour when the gravy is very hot, and when the flour is very hot, and therefore the gravy got cooked from the heat of the flour, yikmetzis mekaymai, you have to take off from the flour the amount of that penetrated into the flour with some flour around that area, because that flour that gravy got heated from the flour. If it's gravy that got heated from the flour, or juice of the carbon that got heated from the flour, so it's again not Korban Pesach that was nitzla yidei esh. It's not a Korban Pesach that was roasted from fire, and a Korban Pesach that wasn't roasted from fire can't be eaten. So Rashi explains, it's based on the Gemara we're going to learn soon, that when here we're speaking about, it dripped onto hot flour. And Rashi points out that the flour is hot. When we speak about the cheres, Rashi didn't point out that it was a hot cheres. So the Tzlach explains that there Rashi was speaking about a case that it was that it's an oven. An oven is obviously hot. So since an oven is obviously hot, it goes without saying that where this gravy dripped was hot. Here, flour is not necessarily hot. And therefore, Rashi had to explain that we're speaking about hot flour, and that's why it got cooked, because of that hot flour. Now, says the Mishnah further, Socha b'shemen truma. You smear the Korban Pesach with oil of truma. However, even though the halacha is that we have to roast the Korban Pesach, if as the Korban Pesach is being roasted, we smear it, that's acceptable. And here it was smeared with oil of truma. The halacha is like this. If the group that's eating this Korban Pesach are a group of kahanim, yochelu, it may be eaten, because kahanim are allowed to eat truma. However, imsha Yisrael, if the group that's eating this Korban Pesach are Yisraelim, who obviously may not eat truma, im chayhu, if the carbon is still raw, yadichenu, all you need to do is just wash off the area where the Korban Pesach was smeared with the oil, and they could eat it, because that's enough to get off the oil. However, im tzlihu, if the Korban Pesach was already roasted, so then that causes that the oil that you smear on top of it will get absorbed into the carbon. And therefore, if it's truma, which Yisrael may not eat, the only way they can eat from this carbon is yitzlof as a chitzen. So Tosfos Divrei Maskil V'im says that it doesn't make a difference if the Korban Pesach is hot or cold. Once it was roasted, the halacha is that the Korban Pesach will absorb the oil, and therefore it will be a problem for Yisraelim to eat from this Korban Pesach. The Ramban and the Rashba disagree. He says that what our Mishnah says, that if it's tzli, then we have a problem, it's only when it was still hot. But if it's not hot anymore, even though it was already roasted, it won't absorb any of the meat. So we know what halacha is, that Maaseh Sheni, the first and the second and the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, we have to take off Maaseh Sheni, And the halacha of Ma'aseh Sheni is that it should be eaten in Yerushalayim. The halacha is lo yisano dam b'nei chabura. So if somebody used his own Ma'aseh Sheni to oil, to shmir the Karban Pesach, and now he wants that the other members of the group should pay him for using his Ma'aseh Sheni. The halacha is he can't take payment for that. Shein paid the Ma'aseh Sheni b'Yerushalayim. Once Ma'aseh Sheni comes through Yerushalayim, the only thing we could do with the Ma'aseh Sheni is eat it. And once, the only thing we could do with it is eat it, it can't be sold, it can't be redeemed, so the owner of the Ma'aseh Sheni cannot take money from the other members of the group for eating his Ma'aseh Sheni, because it looks like you're selling it. So our Mishnah began with the halacha of not the Meroit of Al-Kheris, if some of the juice befell on the oven, the halacha is, and then that juice repenetrated the Karban Pesach, the halacha is you have to take off today netila. So our Gemara begins with a very important machloikus in Hilchas Taruvus, a machloikus of Rav and Shmuel, where you have two foods, one is heter and one is iser, and one dripped on the other. And the question is, under what circumstances do we have here a problem, a taruvus? The same issue, of course, would come up with Basar B'Chalav. And under what circumstances do we not have an issue? So Itmar, in the yeshiva they discussed a situation where Basar B'Chalav fell one on the other. Or it doesn't have to be necessarily Basar B'Chalav. It's a heter. So the halacha is like this. If Cham B'Toicham, if both foods were hot, Divrei Hakol, everybody agrees, Osir, that in that case, we have a situation of Blia, and we have to deal with it, and we'll speak about soon what we do. Tzoynen L'toch Tzoynen, when we speak about cold food, the halacha is, in other words, so if you'll have cold milk falling on cold meat, or vice versa, there Divrei Hakol Mutar, that all you need to do is rinse it. The question that we're going to discuss here is Cham L'toch Tzoynen, if something hot fell into something cold, or Tzoynen L'toch Cham, or something cold fell into something hot. What is the halacha? Rav Amar, Rav says, we look at the lawgiver. We look at what was the upper material. And if the thing that fell in, if the loaf, the thing on top was hot, then, and the bottom is cold, that what happens, according to Rav, is the hot item warms up the bottom item, and they're considered that now they're both hot. And as we just learned a moment ago, that when you have two hot objects that get mixed together, we have blia traveling from one to the other. The Shmuel, on the other hand, holds tatogover. We look at the bottom object, at the bottom food. So if the upper food is hot and the bottom one is cold, then the halacha says, according to Shmuel, that the bottom heats up, cools off the top, and there is no blia, and it would be mutter. However, when the bottom is hot and the top is cold, the bottom warms up the top, and we therefore have a blia, and it's usur. Of course, as we're going to learn, even Shmuel agrees that when we have kar l'toich cham, doesn't mean cham l'toich kar, that we say tatogover, that means that there's no bli at all. The halach is, there's a difference to the level of penetration. Furthermore, that Shmuel, and this is, there's a very fundamental question, which affects this in discussing this in entire discussion. And that is, how could Shmuel and Rav have a machloikis in a metzias? Tatogover or ilogover. Let's test what happens. So how can we have a machloikus on ilogover if the ilogover on tatogover? So the Noid of Yehuda and the Prima Godim and the Aruch HaShulchan and others all discuss this shaila, and they're saying that certainly in a situation where we could taste the food and we could see that there was tam, that there was that one food, that this mixture was affected, the taste of this mixture was affected, there's no machlokas then a law gover or tata gover, of course we have a problem. We're referring to a situation where the test will not be effective. The best way of explaining it is min b'minoy. If both foods that got mixed together are the same, just one was kosher variety and one was a non-kosher variety. So in such a situation, testing won't help. So under those circumstances, Rav says, under most circumstances, we could assume that a law gover, and that's the way to look at this situation. And Shmuel says, in most situations, tata gover, and that's why we should look at this situation. And the way the Noda Behuda explains. So now what Rav and Shmuel are doing is that since we have a suffix, we have a question, what happened here? And the Torah, under many circumstances, tells us that when we have a suffix, when we don't know what happened, we should go with Roiv. And Rav says Roiv is a law gover, and Shmuel holds Roiv is tata gover. Why do I... So besides this important concept, we have a Ran. The Ran tells us that if the food that fell is very, very hot, so there Rav and Shmuel won't disagree. Everybody will say that we have a Taruvus. Why? Because it's not that Rav and Shmuel are locked into a law gover or tata gover. When the food is very, very hot, there certainly will be penetration, there certainly will be Taruvus of Tam, and since there will certainly be Taruvus of Tam, there Shmuel and Rav will not disagree that of course we have a problem. So our Gemara just discussed a situation when you have two different foods, what's the halacha? That mix together. What's the halacha if they mix together or not? So the halacha is like this. If the two foods are both dry, then the halacha is that we only have to take off kedei netila, and we don't have to be concerned that the issa will penetrate deeper than kedei netila. If, however, one of the foods that get mixed up here are liquid, so in other words, let's say a piece of meat fell into a pot of liquid, so there's a much greater level of blia, and therefore, unless you have shishim, then the halacha is the entire food will become asur. When the two foods are dry and cold, all you need to do is take off, all you have to do is rinse them. And as we're going to see in our Gemara, the halacha is that we paskin like Shmuel, that tata gover, that's the way we paskin when we don't know how to look at the situation, we paskin tata gover. Tanan, so we learned in our Mishnah, not from Meroit v'Lacheres, if part of the Korban Pesach fell onto the oven, v'chazer elov, and then that roitiv went back into the Korban Pesach, the halacha is yitos mekamoi, as we learned in the Mishnah, we have to do kedei netila. So the Gemara wants to assume that the Mishnah is referring to Cheres Soinenis, that the floor of the oven is cold. So Bishlam L'Rav, according to Rav, that just taught us the law gover, that we say law gover, we understand the psak of the Mishnah. Mishnah Hachi, Yitels Mekaymai. That's why the Mishnah says you have to take off Kedei Netila. The Ozal Roitiv, or Matach Leil Cheres, the hat Roitiv warms up the Cheres, and then V'hada Cheres Matach Leil Roitiv, and then the oven that's cold, according to Rav, heats up that roitiv. V'chigad the roitiv of Pesach, and then when that roitiv penetrates into the Korban Pesach, komatik Pesach machem scham musa decheres. We have a situation that the Korban Pesach is getting heated not from the fire, but because of the heat of the oven, which is what cooked the roitiv. Rechman Amar, and the Torah says tzliyesh, that the only type of way of preparing the Korban Pesach has to be tzliyesh v'lo tzli machas dover acher. So the Mishnah, according to Rav, is very understandable. However, El Shmuel, Domin Tata Gover, according to Shmuel that says Tata Gover, so the question is, Cheres, Kivin the Tzainanu, if the Cheres of our Mishnah is cold, so what does the Cheres do to the juice that comes out of the Korban Pesach? A Kure Makrele L'Roitiv. It cools off the Roitiv. Because Shmuel says that the halacha is that a law gover. And as I saw the Tosfos Rit explains, certainly when, even if Shmuel is somewhat concerned when you have a taruvis, even if tatar gover, here we're not talking about a food. Here we're talking about an oven. And since it's an oven, there's much less penetration. So then if that juice that was affected by tatar gover, so it's not juice that's osur, so why if that juice goes back into the Karban Pesach, yito mekaymar? Why do we have to do kedei netila? Answers the Gemara. Could Amar Rav Yirmiyah Amar Shmuel? Our Mishnah is not talking about that the floor of the oven is cold. On the contrary, the floor, the just like we explained, and Gemara says it now explicitly, that this next case of the Mishnah is talking about that the right that fell into soilus resachas, hat flour, hachanami. That's how we're going to explain the first part of the Mishnah that's talking about cheres resayach. It's a hot oven, and therefore, if we say, as Shmuel says, tatar gavar, that's why we have a problem with this roitif that fell onto this oven. Continues the Mishnah. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, not the meroit veil asoilus, if the juice fell on the soilus, yikmet says mekaymai, and then we have to take off from the soilus. The place that dripped the roitif. Kosakadatach. Again, the Gemara is explaining that what happened in our Mishnah was that the soilus on which this juice fell was soinenis, was called soilus. So Mishlam l'Rav Dama ilor gover, the juice was hot. Mishamachi yikmetz is a kaimai. We have to do chamitza because roitif masach leil soilus. The roitif heats up the fire, the flour. The hadra hadrone all around it, the hadra soilus amachsel of the day, and then the soilus heats up that roitif. The kamatve roitif machmas chamusin soilus. So now the roitif got hot because of the flour, and then that roitif goes back into the Karban Pesach, and it's rachman amet sliyesh v'loit sli machs davacher, and therefore the roitif. We're not even talking about the Karban Pesach. The soilus that got affected by this roitif got heated off from a Karban Pesach that wasn't roasted. And a Karban Pesach that wasn't roasted by fire is asur. And that Karban Pesach will asur the flour. However, as the Gemara El, Shmuel Dama Tatar Gover, soilus, the flour, kivin the tzenenesi, akura mekele. It doesn't heat up the flour. So lama leyikvitsis mekeme. Why am I worried about that flour? So this says the Gemara, as we said a moment ago, on Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, that Mishnah speaking about soilus resachas. Continues the Gemara. We learned in our Mishnah, Tana, Socha b'shemesh truma, you smeared your Karban Pesach with oil of truma. So we learned in the Mishnah, Im chaburis kohanim, if the group that's eating from this Karban Pesach are kohanim, yochelu, they can eat it, because kohanim are obviously allowed to eat truma. Im shal Yisrael, if the group is Yisrael, Im chayhu, if the Karban Pesach is raw, yadichenu, you should just wash off the oil. Imtzlihu, but if it was roasted, yiklof es achitzen, you have to take off kedei klipa. So ask the Gemara. Bishlam l'Rav Dami loy gover. According to Rav, that says the loy gover, amta lahoch isagi with klipa. That's why klipa is enough. Mishum de law, because the upper food, the oil, is cold. And therefore, if it falls onto the Karban Pesach, it doesn't penetrate that deeply. El Shmuel asked the Gemara that says Tatar Gavar Kivin the Chamhu. The Karban Pesach is presumably hot, and therefore, when the oil is smeared on this hot Karban Pesach Mivla Bola, it penetrates deeply into the Karban Pesach. So ask the Gemara, Amai Sagle B'Klipa, what does our Mishnah say that Klipa is enough? That Locha should be Nitzel Gamri, because of this deep penetration of the oil into the hot Karban Pesach. Answers the Gemara, Shani Sicha, the Masher Ba'alma Vida, that they put just a small amount of oil, and since they put a small amount of oil, even if it's a place where a small amount of oil was put on a hot Karban Pesach, doesn't have the ability to penetrate that deeply. And that's why it's it's enough to take off Kedei Klipa. The Rishonim point out that we're not speaking about a case where there's 100 times meat versus the oil. Because if there was 100 times meat, versus the oil of Truma, we know that Truma is bottle b'meya. Truma becomes bottle 1 in 100. Here we're talking about that there wasn't that ratio, but even though there wasn't that ratio, still there's very little oil, and therefore there isn't that much oil, therefore it's enough kedei klipa. That's the way most Rishonim and Achronim explain. The Taz disagrees. And the Taz says that on the contrary, that here we're talking about a case that there is a sheer bittel of 100 to 1, but still, Chazal said that that is inadequate because we know that the oil does penetrate at least the layer of Kedei Klipa, and therefore it has to be removed. Says the Gemara, however, Tani Kavasi de Shmuel, there's a Braisa that supports Shmuel's opinion that Tatar govern. Because the Braisa says, Cham l'tai cham, if something hot fell into something else, something hot that's mutter fell into something hot that's osur, the halacha is that the entire taruvus is osur. Soinen l'toicham, if something cold fell into something hot, the halacha is osur. Because, again, this is obviously supporting the point of tatar gover. However, if it's cham l'toich tsoinen, something hot fell into something cold, or tsoinen l'toich tsoinen, the halacha is mediach, it's enough just to rinse it off, because we don't have such a deep penetration, because we say tatar gover. Chamatach tzoynen, ask the Gemara, we just said if something hot fell into something cold, the halacha is the mediach, all we need to do is just rinse off the mutadiga food that was on top, and it'll be mutter. Ask the Gemara, but why? Add the mekele, kiven the chamhu, since the upper food is hot, add the mekele. So yes, Shmuel taught us that Tatar Gover teaches us that the bottom cools off the top. And therefore, since the bottom cools off the top, that's what we look at. But till that actually happens, efshur the leibala porter, there must have been some absorption. And therefore, klifa min the boy. Why isn't klipa required? Says the Mar, yes. Al ema chamatach tzoinen. When something hot falls into something cold, the halacha is koilif. You have to do klipa. Tzoinen tzoich tzoinen. But if the boat tzoinen, then you don't even have to do klipa. Medich is motor. But Tosfos points out that what's going to be a situation when you had, like we just discussed, cham tzoinen l'toich. Cham l'toich tzoinen, and one is milk and one is meat. So on the meat, we could say that we could do kedei klipa. But what do we do? What about the milk? You can't do kedei klipa. And therefore, Taisha says that in something that kedei klipa is not doable on, you don't have to do kedei klipa in a situation of tatar gover. Tanya idach, and then the Gemara brings another braisa which supports the opinion of Shmuel. This braisa says, "Basar reseich shenafal toich chol reseich, hot meat that fell into hot milk, became tzoinen shenafal toich cham, or cold meat that fell into hot milk, osur. In both of these cases, it's osur. However, cham shenafal toich tzoinen, hot meat that fell into cold milk, or vice versa, v'tzoinen l'toich tzoinen, or cold meat that fell into cold milk." Mediach. All you need to do is just do mediach, and it's satisfactory. And the Braisa, and the Gemara discusses this Braisa. The Braisa said, Cham l'toich tzoinen, if you had something hot fall into cold, mediach. All you need to do is mediach. But ask the Gemara, like we just asked a moment ago, why? Kim de chamhu, ademekalei yefshad loy bala perta, even if you hold tatar gover. And therefore, ask the Gemara, kalipa me in the boyer. El Amos says the Gemara correct. Chamotach tzoinen koilif, tzoinotach tzoinen, all you need to do is mediach. So says the Gemara, Omamar, we learned in the previous prices that tzoinotach tzoinen, if something cold fell into something cold, all you need to do is mediach. Omar Avuna, loishanu, this halacha that hadoch is enough, ela shloi mochel, when the food is not salted, ava mochel, if the food is salted, usur, then it's usur. Because even though it's cold, Dam Shmuel, Shmuel taught us another halacha. The meliach harei kriseach. Something that's salted is considered like it's being cooked. And therefore, since it's salted, it's considered like cooked. Even though the two foods are cold, they're still going to have belias traveling one from the other. There's a machlokes rishonim. The Rashba says that the halacha is only it was salted from all sides. Then other rishonim say that no, even if it was salted from one side, it's enough to make a penetration. So here we're saying that something that's salted causes a level, a greater level of penetration. So now the question that the rishonim discuss, what is the halacha? Are both foods salted? Are one food salted? Is it the issa food that's salted? Is it the heta food that's salted? It's different types of food that have different halachas. So the Ramah paskins in Yoridei is simen kuf hei, sif hei. Salted food doesn't absorb from unsalted food, only if the unsalted food is dry. But if the unsalted food is a liquid and it comes in contact with salted food, then it will penetrate. If the two foods are totally dry, so the Rishonim paskin and the Mermor paskins that way, that since they're totally dry, even though they're salted, there will not be any penetration. Then also the question is, how much of a penetration is there? Some Rishonim say that it's up to Kedei Klipa. Others say Kedei Netila. And the Shulchan Aruch distinguishes that if one of the foods are fatty, there's more of a penetration between, because it's mafapeya, the other food goes deeper in when it's a fatty food versus when it's not a fatty food. And then he teaches us another halacha, kovach. If you have something that's sitting in vinegar, harei kumavushal, it's considered like it's cooked. And therefore, if you put two pieces of food into vinegar, and one is kosher and one is not kosher, or you took something not kosher and you put it into vinegar, or you put basav cholov into vinegar, it's considered as if they were cooked together. And since it's considered as if they were cooked together, they're osur. All these cases, there will be osur. Now, what is the shear for something to be considered kovash arei kumavoshal? So some rishonim say that it has to be there for 24 hours. Some rishonim I even saw say that it's even not considered kovash on top to only if it was there together 3 days. However, the paiskim differentiate between vinegar, which is sharp, which there we say the shear is the amount of time that it takes to boil vinegar, which typically the poskim say is 18 minutes, and water, we only say kovash kumavushal by water when it was together for 24 hours. Amar Rava, so Kametz Rava, Hadam Shmuel, this that Shmuel just taught us, the Meliach Arei Kuseach, when foods were salted together, it's considered like the cooked. It has to be so salty that it's not edible because of its salt. And Rashi explains that it doesn't mean that it's inedible. If it's inedible, then it's not a food. What it means is that it loses the proper taste because it's salted so heavily. Tosfos says that we've learned many times that they used to put on a lot of salt when they tanned leather. That's what the Gemara means to say here, that the amount of salt that was used on these foods was a significant amount of salt, and therefore that's when it will affect the halacha. Aval, nechs machs malchay, just because the food was salted to make it tasty, loy, there Shmuel won't say, the halacha m'lech harei kurseach. And the Gemara shows this halacha with a story. There was the meat of a pigeon, the nafala kada de kamcha, that fell into kutach. And very often in Shas, we have this dip that's called kutach, that had salt in it and had milk in it, and actually had whey in it. And the question was that the meat that fell into this kutach absorb from the milchige kutach. Shaya Rav Chinna Berei Derava, Rav Chinna Berei Derava's Miprashana said that it may be eaten. Even though, as we just said a moment ago, the kutach has salt, but it didn't have a very high level of salt, and as the Gemara just said, if it doesn't have a very high level of salt, the halacha Melech Kriseich doesn't apply. Amar Rava, so Rava commented, Man Chachal Mishra Milchikai Ha. Somebody, you have to be a big time chacham to say this food is mutter. Ilai Rav Chinna Berei Derava Mishum Vinya. It must be somebody great like Rav Chinna Berei Derava. The Gavar Rabbahu, Amalach, Kiyam Shmuel, because he's teaching us that when did Shmuel say the Meliach Arei Kuriseach? Only when Ein Necho Machos Melchai. Hi, the Kutach is salted, but it's not salted to that degree, and it's Necho Machos Melchai, and therefore the Salacha doesn't apply. However, comments the Gemara, V'hani Mili Chai. That's only if the meat is raw. Avotzli, if the meat was roasted, because so therefore, as we learned already in the Mishnah, meat that's roasted has an easier level of penetration. Since the meat was roasted, then the halacha would be by klipa. We have to take off klipa. And the pashut pshat in the Gemara is that this meat of this poultry is very soft after it's roasted. And therefore, since it's very soft after it's roasted, it's very easy to penetrate. And Ramah, in Yerudeus, Simon Tzadik Aleph Siv Zion teaches us, it doesn't mean that the meat was roasted. If the meat was cooked or baked, that softened up the meat. Anything that softens up the meat will cause that there should be penetration, and therefore we would have to have Kedei Klipa. Furthermore, says the Bala Iter, it does when we say that Kedei Klipa is required, even though the meat is cold and the kutach is cold, is because even though the kutach, as we just said a moment ago, is not that salty that it's inedible, but it is somewhat salty. And therefore, since it's somewhat salty, we have a problem of penetration. But let's say the food has salt, but it doesn't really have a very salty taste. Therefore, since it doesn't have a very salty taste, then we wouldn't have, and they would be both cold, even though it was roasted meat, there would be no problem. Furthermore, as it's quite clear in the Gemara here, the meat that fell into this kutach wasn't hot. Still, we're worried about penetration. V'loyamar, furthermore, says the Gemara, el delesle pili, that there's no cracks in the meat. Aval ispe pili, if there are cracks in the meat, so therefore it's easy for the kutach to penetrate in the meat, osur. V'metuba betavli, furthermore, if the meat was spiced, so the spice softens up the meat, and since the spices soften up the meat, it makes it easy for the kutach to penetrate into the kutach to penetrate into the meat, and therefore again we would have a problem. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Basa Shchuta. You have a kosher piece of meat, shamein, which is fatty and gives off a lot of aroma, shetzaloi in basa nevela kochish, that was roasted in one oven with non-kosher meat, which was lean, osur. The kosher meat becomes osur. Ask the Gemara, says the Gemara, my tama, what's the reason for this? Says the Gemara, mefatmi mehadodi, the aroma from the non-kosher meat penetrates the kosher meat, and therefore, since it penetrates the kosher meat, it becomes non-kosher. The Levi Omer, afil basa shchut kochosh, if you have kosher lean meat, shetzolim basa nevela shamin, that was roasted with non-kosher fatty meat, it's mutter. We don't have a problem. Because Levi's opinion is, my tama, Because all that happened here is the two meats didn't actually touch. The entire issue that we're discussing in our Gemara is the reyach, is the aroma that went from one piece of meat to another piece of meat. That is only reicha ba'alma, and Levi's opinion is reicha lav milsum. And Rav spoke a case where the kosher meat is fatty and the non-kosher meat is lean to tell us a chiddush, that even though the non-kosher meat is lean meat, and therefore maybe we would say that since it's lean meat, it shouldn't have the ability to aser, to prohibit the kosher meat, still Rav says that the kosher meat will become aser. What would be if both meats are lean? The halacha is that they're mutter, and the shach in Siman Kuf Ches of Katan Aleph says that they're so mutter that even the mutter l'chatchila to be put in the oven together. A chiddush nifla, according to the shach, if you have two pieces of meat that are lean, and it's important to point out that we're really not experts in determining what is lean and what is not lean, but according to the shach, if you have two pieces of meat that we know for sure are both lean, al-chatchila allowed to be put into the oven together. So, what is the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel? Rav's opinion is that the aroma, the reyach that comes out of a food has the same status as the food itself. Whereas Levi's opinion is that the reyach doesn't have the same status as the food, and therefore the reyach can't make an iser. Says the Gemara, Ovid Levi of the Beresh Gelusa. Levi allowed this to follow this psak in the home of Resh Gelusa, Begdi v'davar achad, that they roasted in one oven a kosher goat and a chazer and a hog, and he said that the goat may be eaten. Of course, the Paiskim discuss the question: how could they have cooked in the home of the Resh Gelusa non-kosher meat? So the Paiskim want to say from here maybe a raya that if somebody has working for him non-Jews who are obviously allowed to eat non-kosher food, you're allowed to cook for them non-kosher food in your home, obviously in their separate pots. Meisvei, so Levi just told us the Rechalav Milsahi. As the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, Ain't Solom Shnei Psochim Kechad. We can't roast two Karban Pesachs together, Mnei Taruvus. Because we're concerned of Taruvus, everybody's only allowed to eat, as we've learned so many times, from their own Karban Pesach. My laugh, what does the Braisa presumably mean? The Taruvus Tamin. That if you're going to roast them in one oven, there's going to be Reyach from one carbon going into the other carbon. But in Kashul Levi, according to Levi, he says the Rechalav Milsahi. Says Meloy. What we're speaking about here is Taruvus Gufim. That we're worried that we have two groups that put their two carbon Pesachs in one oven, and they're not going to realize which is which. Hachanam Mistabra. And that's the concern according to Levi. We're not worried about the Recha. And says the Mar Hachanam Mistabra, that that's the way to understand that halacha. Minikhtani Sefer, and we learned the Sefer that Braisa, Afilu Gdi V'Teleh, even if the two animals that were used, one was a goat and one was a sheep. So says the Gemara, if we'll say that the concern is that we may get confused whose carbon is who, we could understand, Hanikhtani Afilu Gdi V'Teleh, because if they're both the same type of animal, so the level of confusion is understandable, we won't recognize whose animal is whose. Hanikhtani, but if it's two different types of animals, maybe we should think that we have nothing to worry about. Hanik Tani, that's all we had to learn. I feel Gdiva Tle is Osir. But ask the Gemara, Eli Amrit, that the concern is with Nei Teruvus Tamim. So Mali Gdiva Tle, Mavili Gdiva Gdi, Elamai. So what are you going to explain? Al Karfrach, the entire concern is with Nei Teruvus Gufanud Osir. We're going to get confused which animal is which. Aval Teruvus Tamim. If the entire concern was just Recha, Shari, so shouldn't this be Lehmetav to Yufta the Rav? Rav says that we're concerned for Recha, and by Recha, it doesn't make a difference what type of animals it are. Amar Rav Yirmiyahu Hachamai Skinen, The Brice is speaking about a case. Kigon Shetzol B'Shtei Kederes. They were put into two separate pots in the same oven. And therefore, even though Rav is concerned for Recha Milsa, if the two foods are in two separate pots, there's no concern for Recha Milsa. Ask the Gemara, how could you say B'Shtei Kederes Sel Kedatach? Can you say that that's the case? Ella, you can't put a Karm Pesach into a pot. As we've been learning, the Karm Pesach at Sliyesh. El Eima Ke'en Shtei Kederes. The case was that they were two separate areas in the oven. Vach Kamer, and this is the way to understand the Braisa. Ain't Tzolim Shnei Pesach Gecha B'nei Taruvus. We can't roast two Karm Pesachs in one oven because of Taruvus. My Taruvus, and what is the Taruvus? Because of Taruvus Tamim. Vafilu, and says the Braisa, when you have a situation, Ke'en Shtei Kederes, where it is separate, the Lekka Teruvus Tamim. So there we need not be concerned about Recha Milsa. Osir, we're still also Mashim Teruvus Gufin. Then we have to be worried about the mix-up of the two animals. And when we're worried about the mix-up of the two animals, we're worried Afil Gediva Tala. I'm a Mary. So Rameri wants to suggest Ketanoi. This question of Recha Milsa or Recha La Milsa, the Machloikus of Rav and Levi, is actually Machloikus Tanoim. Because the Mishnah in Masechet Trumos teaches us, Haroi de paschama. If somebody takes out of the oven hot bread, v'nosna pichovas shayin shal truma, and put the bread on top of a barrel of truma wine. Ramei oiser, Ramei says that Yisrael may not eat that bread because it's considered like truma. Rav Yehuda Mata, Rav Yehuda says he may. Rav Yosi Mata v'chitin, he says by wheat bread, which doesn't absorb so much. It's mutter, voice of Shah Sa'irim, but by barley bread, he's machmer, Nesha Sa'irim Shavas. Barley absorb more than wheat. My laugh. So, doesn't the Gemara wants to suggest that this machlaikis tanoihi? The mass of Rabbi Huda says that the bread is mutter. He's not concerned of the bread absorbing the aroma of the wine, because his opinion obviously is Reyecha Lam Masahi. Omar Savar, Ramei, who's concerned, holds that we can't eat the bread. We can't eat the bread because Recha Milsahi. So says the Gemara. Levi, who holds Recha La Milsahi Vada Tanaihi, will certainly agree that this is a Machloikus Tanoim. LeRav Neim Ketanaihi. Does Rav also have to hold it's a Machloikus Tanoim? Says the Gemara. No. Amalav Amalach Rav. Rav will tell you the Kul Alma. Everybody really agrees that Recha Milsahi. Yes, the reason the Rav said that Rav Yehuda said that the bread is mutter is not because Recha La Milsahi. He says that even if you hold Recha Milsahi, not in all situations is Recha Milsa. And this is a situation Recha La Milsahi. And in fact, says the Gemara, I'll prove to you that Rav doesn't have to say it's a machlok stemnoim, because Lav itma lo dahi, Om Rav Bechana Om Reish Lakish. In learning that Mishnah, Rabbi Balchana Omer Shlokas said, "Bepascham, if the bread is hot, the chavas psucha, and the barrel of wine of truma is open, the divrakal osur, everybody will agree that the bread is osur, because certainly there's an absorption into the bread from the truma. Bepascham, if the bread is cold, the chavas magufa, and the barrel is closed, everybody will hold divrakal mutter, that the bread is mutter, there's certainly no absorption. Where do we have machlokes or main Rabbi Yehuda? Al paschema, the bread is hot, the chavas chatuma, and the barrel is closed. Or paschenenes, where the bread is cold, the chavas psucha. And the question is, how far will we say Recha Milsa? But everybody subscribes to Recha Milsa. Vanami, in our case, where we put the kosher meat and the non-kosher meat in the same oven, is kripas chama, it's like warm bread, v'chavas psucha damya, and that's why Rav says, everybody will agree that the meat that's kosher now became kosher, not kosher. Tani Rav Kana Bereid, Rav Chanina Sova, pas sha'ofa im tzli b'tana, if you have bread that was baked together in an oven with meat, that bread becomes fleishik, and the halacha is also lachol b'kutcha, you can't eat that bread with kutach, which we learned earlier is milchik. Says the Gemara, he ben Nosa, the itva b'hadi bisra. There was a situation where fish was roasted in the same oven as meat. Asa rava b'prezika lemechla b'kutcha. He did not allow the fish to be eaten with kutach, because again, the fish was considered fleishik. He didn't let anybody consume that fish at all. A fil b'milcha nami asura. You can't eat that fish, because here we have a new halacha. The halacha is the fish that's prepared together with milk, the kash l'recha, it causes bad odor, or dava acher, and it causes tzaras. In other words, the Gemara is saying that the fish becomes asur because of recha milsa. And now the question is, if we paskins, what would Levi say recha lav milsahi? Because the halacha is that reich lam milsahi, says the Ramah that even though Levi holds the reich lam milsa, that's only b'dievet. L'chatchila, of course, we shouldn't cook in one oven different types of foods, kosher meat with non-kosher meat, milchigs and fleishigs, etc. Another explanation that the Shach gives, that even if we paskin reich lam milsahi, there's a kalal of chamira sakanta misura. And as Al Gemara just said, cooking fish and meat together is a question of sakana. And therefore, since it's a question of sakana, we have to be more machmer. And the Shulchan Aruch, in fact, says, because of this halacha, of the separation of meat and milk, the halacha is that the Torah says that people designate, separate pots for fish and for meat. And the Shulchan Aruch says that one has to wash his hands and clean out his mouth between eating fish and eating meat. The Ramah says that you don't have to go so far, but the halacha is that you should drink something between eating fish and meat. The Ramah of Avram wants to say that Nishtanu HaTivin, and maybe Bizman HaZeh we could be more lenient about fish and milk. I saw that the Tver Tzvi says that if you're eating the fish and meat on Shabbos, so we have a concept of Shema Mitzvah Lo Yoyda Davara, and therefore we could be more lenient. The Divrei Mekhil says you can't just apply the concept of Shema Mitzvah Lo Yoyda Davara under all circumstances, and we can't allow any mixture of meat and milk under any circumstances. The question that comes up is, can we rely on bittel b'shishim, on meat and milk? And the Taz says that bittel b'shishim is only effective when we speak about issa v'heter, basa b'cholof. But when we speak about sakana, which Al Gemara just said, the fish and milk is a question of sakana, there we can't rely on bittel b'shishim. The Shach disagrees that he says that we could rely on bittel b'shishim. The Chassam Sofer in a tshuva in Yerudei, Simen Kuf Aleph, says that even if we're going to be machmer for the sheet of the Taz, that by sakana we don't rely on shishim, it could be that in our case where we just said the Magen Avraham says nishtanu ativim, and this isn't the sakana b'zman hazeh, and maybe when it's l'kavod Shabbos, there everybody would agree that we could follow the opinion of the Shach and rely on bittel b'shishim.